Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Is it strange? I'll call you. How do you think that I might forget all love? It's radiating further away.
You're with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof on the Spirit Lounge, the show that explores sexuality and spirituality for our community.
And good evening and welcome to the Spirit Lounge this fine spring Monday evening. Thank you very much to the Roundup. This is the Pom and the Poof, and we've got no priest because she's eating and drinking her way around Western Australia. So, darling, if you're listening, leave a little bit for us.
Of course she's listening. She's listening on her iPhone app.
So the priest is taking a very well-earned break for about 3 weeks. So we shall march on. And we have a super program. We have a delightful lady who we interviewed earlier this evening called Bethany Davey. And she's from something called Power Shift?
Yes.
But that's part of the Australian Youth Climate Coalition. Fascinating topic. We'll be talking to her shortly. And we've got the Spirit Spar as well. And I'm reporting on something that's very close to my heart. The horrible causes of hay fever, because it's that time of year, isn't it? Do you get hay fever?
Oh, I get bad sinuses. I've never really linked it to hay fever. I think it's just bad sinus.
Does that mean you snore?
Possibly. I'm asleep when that happens, so I'm not sure.
Anyway, let's kick off with a little bit of music. This is Beautiful Day by G&G.
The heart is a bloom, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room.
Your voice, your radio station, Joy 94.9.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Pom and the Poof and no priest. Joy, if you're listening, I hope you're having a great time in WA. Now, we had a lovely time earlier talking to a lady called Bethany Davey, and she's from the Australian Youth Climate Coalition, which is a fascinating organisation. It's about young Australians who will face the consequences of decisions made today. That's why they have the vision that will deliver the short-term political impact and the long-term cultural change needed for a safe climate future. Not about politics, they say. It's about enduring a safe future for young people across Australia. It's an amazing movement. And as Bethany was saying, it's school age right the way up through kind of the student era. So let's listen to the first part of her interview. So, good evening. You're on the Spirit Lounge. We're here every Monday night from 9 till 10, and we always have a guest, don't we, Andrew?
We do always have a guest, and we're very lucky to have a very special guest this week.
All our guests are special, and we would like to welcome Bethany Davey, and Bethany is field coordinator for something called Power Shift, which we're going to hear all about, and she's also a climate warrior, aren't you? Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Now, first of all, Bethany, tell us about Power Shift. What is it?
Power Shift is pretty much a three-day youth climate summit. It's run by the Australian Youth Climate Coalition, and what it's trying to achieve is to bring young people together from around Australia to get our voices heard, so that not only will other citizens of Australia, but also politicians will hear that we're also passionate about climate action.
So this is about youth climate change, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so you're the next generation and you're a bit concerned about what our generation have been messing about with, aren't you?
Yeah, that's actually the mission statement of the Australian Youth Climate Coalition is a generation-wide movement to solve the climate crisis. So
who started the AYCC? That sounds like a really kind of targeted mission statement.
Yeah. It was founded by Amanda McKenzie about 4 years ago, and pretty much she became really passionate about climate change, and she started up a group in her school, and after then she started growing it quite a lot larger and getting involved with other organisations, and that's how the Australian Youth Climate Coalition started.
Wowee. And what motivated you personally to get involved then, Bethany?
I think personally, I've grown up in a family that's been very environmentally focused. And when I moved to Melbourne in 2009, I heard about the Australian Youth Climate Coalition. And I just found it really exciting that there were young people getting involved and being politically active. And I think throughout my whole life, climate change, you know, people have always known about it, but it's a little bit worrying that nothing's really happened over the past like 20 years. So I think, each person should really be taking it on themselves to try and do something about it.
It's fantastic. You know, if each individual takes responsibility, then collectively, you know, you can make a difference. Yeah. And so is the word out through all the schools and universities and colleges? Is it all that age group where people are really getting together?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's what the job of the field coordinators was meant to be. So we're sort of scattered around Australia and where I'm speaking in schools and universities and youth groups and that sort of stuff. And I'm just getting the word out about it and, yeah, telling
you're
people.
You're recruiting.
Yes, that's right.
And spreading the gospel.
So how do you get involved? So after we've heard all about the AYCC and what they do, how do you actually participate?
Yeah, definitely. You can, of course, go into powershift.org.au and on the website you can register your interest to receive email updates about what's happening and how you can sign up and buy your tickets to PowerShift. But even just in more general, the Australian Youth Climate Coalition, they get involved with many other things. That's another way you can get involved.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, then PowerShift is a part of the AYCC.
Yeah, that's right. That's one of their initiatives to try. I think the main focus of PowerShift is to get people to hear that we really want to swap over to renewable energies because, to secure a clean energy future. So.
And I was looking at the website today and this one testimonial absolutely summed it up for me. This girl said, for goodness sake, Australia is one of the hottest places on the planet. It's one of the windiest places on the planet. This is where we should start, you know, recycling and renewing energy. And yeah. I immediately thought of wind farms, but I know that can be controversial. But just to, you know, renewable energy, this is such a good country to test it out on. I mean, it's a no-brainer for me. I thought that was a very, very good phrase. So did you go to PowerShift in 2009 in Sydney?
I didn't actually, but that's when I first heard about PowerShift through the actual video of the flash mob that they did at the end of the summit. And for me, it was just really inspirational and exciting. And I really wanted to get involved after that.
So there's two coming up, aren't there?
Yeah.
Where and when?
The first one is in Perth from September 30 to October 2nd. And I think the one is Perth is mainly for people in Western Australia because they are a fair bit further away. But the main one is going to be in Brisbane from October 15 to 17. And that's sort of the main one. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
And what sort of thing happens at these summits? Like, what's the purpose of them?
The whole summit is pretty much made up of a set of workshops. So there are going to be a whole bunch of really inspirational speakers and leadership trainings. And then the end of the summit, same as in 2009, there's going to be a flash mob to sort of raise some awareness about it. And that's always really exciting. It's sort of wrapping up the whole three-day summit.
You're with the Spirit Lounge on 94.9 and we're talking to Bethany Davey, who's a field coordinator and climate warrior for PowerShift. We're just going to play some music and we'll be back with Bethany in a minute.
1980 me. Reaching far and wide.
Stream us now.
joy.org.au.
You are with Bertie the Pom and Andrew the Poof and No Joy the Priest. She's off gallivanting around Western Australia. We've been talking to a lovely lady called Bethany Davey from the Australian Youth Climate Coalition. And before we rejoin the interview, I'd like to share some figures with you, which are quite fantastic. There's an organisation called Youth Decide, and back in 2009, tens of thousands of young Australians voted for the world that they want to inherit. The Australian Youth Climate Coalition and World Vision Australia partnered to hold a national youth vote on climate change. They wanted to give millions of young Australians the opportunity to have their voice heard. The results were absolutely extraordinary. Just under 38,000 young Australians around the nation voted, and an overwhelming 97.5% of young people voted for emissions targets stronger than those currently proposed by the government at the time of the vote. The vote results were shared with Australia's government leaders and were taken to the United Nations during Climate Week in New York in September and then to Copenhagen in December. This was in 2009. Now, all of this was the preamble, and it was happening about the same time as PowerShift was launched in Sydney in 2009. So PowerShift is about to happen again in Brisbane and in Perth in September and October, and we'll rejoin Bethany Davey to tell us more about it. We're back on the Spirit Lounge, and we have a lovely guest tonight, Bethany Davey, who is a field coordinator for an organisation called PowerShift. And PowerShift is part of the AYCC, which Bethany stands for...
The Australian Youth Climate Coalition.
Thank you. And we were just talking about the two youth climate summits that are coming up. 2 years ago, it was in Sydney in 2009. And now we've got one in Perth at the end of September. And the other one is in Brisbane in the middle of October. And obviously, are you going to both of those?
I'm only going to Brisbane because mm-hmm. that's sort of the main one for the people that live along the eastern shore of Australia.
On the east coast. Yeah. So... What's in the programme? Do you have guest speakers and debates and discussions and educationals?
Yeah, definitely. Our main guest speaker is going to be Bill McKibben, who's the founder of 350.org. So he's going to be Skyping in from America, which is going to be a real highlight. And then we're also going to have speakers like Amanda McKenzie, who was the founder of AYCC, and a whole long list of others. So
amazing. So yeah. It's meant to be educational. Is that the main focus?
Yeah, definitely. But not only about learning, also about taking action on what you've learned. So
yeah, how we can make a difference, because all these conferences, everyone sits around chat, don't they? But actually, it's about taking something away that you can put into action to make a difference.
So one of PowerShift's sponsors is the AYCC. They represent 30 different youth organisations in Australia and over 64,000 individual members. What's the difference that the AYCC do, and what's the difference between AYCC and PowerShift? It seems like they're almost aligned. Exactly the same thing?
PowerShift is sort of an initiative by the AYCC, which is more focused on raising awareness about a clean energy future and swapping over to renewable energies, whereas AYCC talks about sort of all things about climate action and ways you can make a difference, whereas PowerShift is more about raising awareness about a clean energy future.
Now, in your existence so far, it's really obvious to me when I look at the website that, you know, you have managed to reach the politicians, you've managed to engage the scientists, you've managed to learn and work with the climate change kind of experts. How have they reacted to your cause? Because this is a bunch of, school age, college and university age people, so youths. How have they reacted to you? Have they taken you seriously?
Yeah, we've actually got quite a lot of media attention, and one of the more recent campaigns was called The Elephant in the Room, and Julia Gillard actually met with our elephant a couple of years ago because, that was sort of talking about how climate change is the elephant in the room and everyone knows it's there but nothing's really happening, and it was really exciting when she got to meet our elephant.
Is that a real elephant?
No, someone that dressed up as an elephant.
It's a pantomime elephant. Just checking, I thought you'd gone off to India for a minute. Or the zoo, one or the other. So how can people find out more about PowerShift, and how can they register for the summits that are coming up?
More information is on the PowerShift website, which is powershift.org.au, And that's got all the information there, and also a place where you can register your interest, so you'll receive email updates from AYCC. And I guess certainly let everyone know that you can sign up on the website and buy your tickets, because, yeah, it's going to be really good.
It's going to be amazing. So that's powershift.org.au.
That's right.
And I had a sneaky look today. And, yep, you can register for the summit, and it looks like they help with transport and with accommodation.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
The speakers' seminars are starting to be listed, and it looks incredible.
So, Bethany, you identify as a Christian. Does your involvement with the Australian Youth Climate Coalition have any interaction with your faith? Are there any faith-based reasons why you're involved?
Definitely. I've been a member of the church my whole life. I currently go to Glen Waverley Uniting, and I think a part of my faith is that we should all be responsible global citizens. So I think my work with the Australian Youth Climate Coalition, it really does have a bit to do with that. So, yeah, and it's really great to be able to take something like that on board and be able to do something yourself.
And with the other people who are also volunteering with the program, do they participate because of exploring their faith journey, or is it for other reasons?
Yeah, definitely. There are a lot of other people that are doing it as a part. They might have heard about it through a church or a different faith that they're involved in. And others are just sort of really passionate about that, because that's what they love doing. And yeah, it's really good.
It's lovely to give something back to the community, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That has been fascinating. And for one last time, that was Bethany Davey, our very own climate warrior. And she's from powershift.org.au.
SMS 0427 JOY 949. I
tremble. 0427 JOY 949.
You're on the Spirit Lounge, JOY 94.9. We're here every Monday from 9 till 10 talking about sexuality, spirituality, sugar and spice, and all things beginning with S.
Sugar and spice. And I want to do an episode just about sugar and spice.
We'll do that in the next Spirit Spa. Now, we always have an artist of the month, and it's my turn to pick the artist of the month. And
Who have you chosen?
I have chosen the Queen of Soul. Do you know who that is?
I only know because you wrote it down on my sheet of paper in front of me here.
Our artist of the month is the wonderful Aretha Franklin, who, I'll tell you what, at 69 years old, is still out there doing it. She is amazing. And this track, I think, is very relevant, because I think we should respect our planet. And that's what Bethany's been talking to us about through Power Shift. And this, of course, is Aretha Franklin and Respect. And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Pom and the Poof. No priest.
She's off gallivanting again.
She's gone missing. Nah. If you're listening, Priestie, hello. How's Western Australia? Now it's time for our Pink 60 news, because we always look on the international internet to see what else is happening in the world that's relevant to Spirit Lounge. And so we've got a couple of items here that we'd like to share with you tonight. This guy's good. I like this guy, Daniel Sharp. Now, Daniel Sharp, the Australian Labour Party Federal Electoral Council for Warringah, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Warringah, New South Wales, it's just on the north shores of Sydney, has voted unanimously in favour of marriage equality and has called on the government to introduce legislation of its own to legalise same-sex marriage. Warringah Federal Electorate Council spokesperson Daniel Sharp said the council saw the denial of same-sex marriage as an ongoing form of discrimination towards a sizeable proportion of society, a stance which it views as untenable and unjustifiable situation in contemporary Australia. Go for it, Daniel. Beautifully done.
What do you think about this? I mean, the way that I kind of look at it, it's kind of like the old, federal government's not doing it from the top, so let's take like a bottom-up approach.
Well, that's what's happening in the States, isn't it? If you look at this equality and marriage thing in the States, it's not the federal government. It's the state laws which are deciding, like New York just decided, you know, to make it legal. And I don't know them offhand, but I know there are several other states in the US where it's legal. And, of course, some backtrack, like California. But so maybe Australia needs to do the same. Maybe it needs to come down to state level.
Yeah, I wonder, that would be kind of interesting. Like, I wonder where Victoria would fall on the scale of, I guess, on the scale of equal rights.
What you mean, if Victoria took a vote, what the outcome would be? I don't know. I mean, there is so much out there about the marriage rights and equality. I've given up reading about it because, actually, do you know what? It's getting really boring. And eventually, when it becomes legal in Australia, everyone will look back and go, well, what was all the fuss about?
Yes, but we look at it that way now. We think, oh, well, we're nearly there. But we're not there. 100%.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Australia still has to push. I mean, big time. But there is so much stuff on about it at the moment. So much stuff. I wish someone would just JFDI, as they say, just do it. And because it's once it's done, you know what? It's no big deal. But and it should already exist. But that's my opinion. I'm coming from a place, obviously, where it is legal. So, but we waited. The UK waited a long time for it as well.
Yeah, what was it like? What was it like in the build-up before the change of laws in the UK?
It was quite exciting, and in fact, two of our girlfriends were—I think they were the first two women to get married in a certain borough of London—and that was very exciting because they were the first two girls. And it was a great buzz, and I think you know, there were a lot of frocks and hats being bought, and there was a lot of civil partnership events going on, and a lot of parties and celebrations. And you know, I'm sure that if you're a photographer or in cake making, or you know, you're probably earning quite a nice living, there was a new market was suddenly born, if you like.
Do you remember much about how like organised religions reacted to the decision, or was that not really the focus?
Not much, because also what happened simultaneously was that there are lots and lots of venues in the UK now that you can get married in, which are not places of religious places. So, I mean, you know, we tied the knot in the Royal Pavilion in Brighton, which was George the Fourth's home and playground. Beautiful, exquisite palace. So there are a lot of places with wedding licenses now, so you can get married anywhere. It doesn't have to be a religious building. And, you know, I'm fairly agnostic, as you know, as is my partner. So there wasn't a huge religious content to our service, but that's not to say it didn't lack meaning and commitment and all those lovely things. But yeah, so, you know, it's right across the board. And some people, it's heavily religious. And then that then depends on how their local minister or priest or rabbi or whoever feels about it and what have you. So a lot of those people leap through a lot more hoops to actually get to their big day than we did.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of organized faiths that are embracing that legal change.
Yes, there's a lot in the UK that do embrace it, and even if as a whole certain religions don't, there are individuals within that religion who are prepared to be the I've lost the word,
the officiator,
the officiator of the of the ceremony. So I don't know too many people who've had too many problems, but you're always gonna, you know, have a few. Now our second news item tonight is this is interesting. A lesbian priest, the very Reverend Tracy Lind and Dean of Trinity Episcopal Cathedral in Ohio, is one of five people being considered for the position of Bishop of New York. Her ministry work includes environmental justice, interfaith relationships, sustainable urban planning, arts and culture. Now, she's, if you're interested in this lady, she's written a book called Interrupted by God, Glimpses from the Edge. She's a member of the spiritual and religious leaders group of the Lesbian and Gay Community Service Center of Greater Cleveland. The Episcopal Church already appointed its first gay bishop with Gene Robson in New Hampshire in 2003. So the Episcopal Church in the US in some states sounds like it's quite progressive, and it's great to know that there is an out lesbian priest who is now being shortlisted to possibly become the Bishop of New York.
It's a pretty high position. Like, that's pretty high profile.
I think so. But she sounds amazing. I mean, she's clearly quite an academic. She's an author. She's involved in so many things. She sounds like a really strong candidate. But anyway, if you're interested in reading more about this lady, that's the very Reverend Tracy with an E, Lind. And if you Google, you will find her. So those are our little news bites for this evening. And now it's time for Andrew's choice of music. Do you want to introduce the lovely lady?
I chose a little song from one of my favourite artists. You guys all know that my favourite person of the moment is Natasha Bedingfield. And this one is called Neon Lights. So let's have a listen. You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. If you would like to give us some feedback, just send us an email on air at joy.org.au and we'll be able to listen to you.
We'll be able to mention you on the radio. Now it's that time where we take all our clothes off, jump in this bar and talk about something health, fitness, diet related.
Something healthy. And we usually find out how unhealthy I know. I am.
Yeah, we do.
This is Andrew's little education segment where we find out that I really shouldn't be eating all the things that I eat and shouldn't be doing all the things that I do.
I know. It's amazing that you're still alive. But we're looking at something this week which is really close to my heart because it is a horrible thing to have. And we're looking at hay fever. And I decided to look at that today because it's spring. It's the time when you might have hay fever. And a lot of people sniff and sneeze and actually don't realize that they've got hay fever. They think they've got a cold or something. The medical term is seasonal or perennial allergic rhinitis. And it's basically an allergic reaction to pollen. And pollen comes from trees, it comes from weeds, and it comes from grasses. And when the pollen gets into the body, the immune system sees it as a threat. Cells in the body, known as mast cells, release a chemical called histamine to fight the attack. And this triggers the reaction in a lot of us. And the telltale symptoms most of us know: sneezing, runny nose, sore and swollen eyes and ears, itchy mouth and throat, wheezing, and even asthmatic symptoms. And hence, that's why you're prescribed antihistamine if you go to the chemist to try and help. Now, I looked into it ages ago because I got it as a child, and it's unusual to have hay fever in isolation. Normally, a relative has suffered from it, but the genes not only relate to hay fever, but they can also be connected with eczema and asthma as well. So there is a hereditary tendency. It doesn't mean that you're going to get all three conditions, but they are linked. And you may also be sensitive to things like house dust and even some animals' fur. I mean, I'm allergic to cats, for example, cats with long fur. What about you? Are you allergic to anything?
Yeah, now that you do mention it, I have had reactions to cats and dogs like with really long hair.
Yeah.
And also, the doctor has given me antihistamines before, but I didn't think it was hay fever. Yeah. I thought it was for, just sinusy things.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who'll take it just for a month or two to try and stave off, you know, the symptoms.
Mm.
I mean, the season normally begins in late winter, early spring. It's the tree pollen that affects us first. So certainly by now, that's what's getting us. 25% of sufferers are affected by tree pollen. 95% are affected by grass pollens. I mean, that's the really bad one. And in the summer, it's grass pollen. And then in the autumn, I mean, there's no getting away from it, really. In the autumn, believe it or not, it's weed pollen that can cause problems.
So any plant that's putting off pollen at any time?
No, there are certain trees and there are certain weeds and there's certain grass, and some people are allergic to the whole lot. Some people are just allergic to certain ones. And I mean, yes, you can go and get all these testings done and try and, I mean, birch trees is one of them, I think. I think plane trees are another one. So it does depend. I mean, you could drill down and really look into it, but I'm kind of generalizing here because it also depends what country you live in. And, you know, we have different trees in different countries, different types of grass, different types of weeds. But on the whole, sadly, the symptoms are the same for most of us.
So still sneezy.
And is it on the increase? Yes, it is. But experts are divided. Between 15 and 20% of the population worldwide suffer from hay fever. And that's three times the number of people in the 70s.
Really?
Yeah.
And does your little report go into detail about why it's on the increase?
One possible cause, of course, is pollution. Because if you're sensitive to pollen, you're also sensitive to dust and pollution. One theory includes the so-called hygiene hypothesis, that our immune system, which is primed to fight off infections, goes awry because of our super sanitized approach to hygiene, which makes us vulnerable to allergies. So that's quite possible. We just don't have the resilience anymore, you know?
So you're going to let your kids go and eat dust?
I hope not. But, and so, you know, what should we take? people like me who always get hay fever, we know 3 or 4 weeks before, about a month before the season, you start to take antihistamine because it does build up resistance. So if you're listening to this and you think you've got hay fever, and in fact, you know, if you do, try and start to take the medication 3 or 4 weeks before, because it does build up a resistance in your body. You can get antihistamine over the counter. If you go to your doctor, you can get other things. There are nasal sprays and eye drops. If the doctor prescribes stronger stuff for you, invariably it's steroid medication. So you've got to be careful with that. You've got to know what you're doing. The other thing for you smokers out there, shame on you, and I can say that as an ex-smoker, smoking irritates the lining of the nose, eyes, throat and airways. So it does aggravate hay fever symptoms. So if you do get hay fever, try and cut down the smoking a bit because it is aggravating it. What do other people do? You know, people keep the windows shut and keep the aircon on. Make sure if you've got aircon, make sure the filters are clean. You know, because that does help in the office, the car, the house. I know it's difficult in the office. Don't mow the lawn, obvious.
Mowing the lawn's awesome. You know, I love that smell of freshly cut grass.
Mm. But if you're allergic to grass pollen, it's probably horrible. And things like, wear sunglasses to protect your eyes. This is a really good trick, is if you just line the inside of your nose with Vaseline, what happens is the pollen sticks to the Vaseline and it doesn't go up and irritate your nose.
Really?
Yeah, I do that. It works.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
You know, I heard this little trick about, you know, if you were going to sneeze, to look up at like a light fitting or something and it stops you from sneezing. Any truth in that?
No, that's complete bollocks. Who told you that?
I don't know. It's like an old wives' tale.
What if I stare up at the sun, my hay fever will go away. You'll just damage your eyes, honey. if you're out during high pollen times, shower when you get in, change your clothes, you know, pollen sticks to everything. And in fact, women, us girlies, don't wear mascara because pollen sticks to the mascara and then it drops onto your eyes. So if you get itchy eyes, well, if you get itchy eyes and you start itching them, of course, you're going to have two black eyes anyway. So, ditch the mascara. And that's not just the girls, of course.
Yes, there are some boys.
And contact lens wearers, obviously, try and use the disposable ones and change them a lot. I mean, those are just some of the tips. There's all sorts of other weird ones, like drink fenugreek seed tea. I didn't include that in my tea survey,
no,
did I?
No,
fenugreek
was not.
Seed tea. Eat more ginger and garlic. Eat local honey and beeswax or fresh honeycomb. All very odd stuff. What else?
There was a friend who put me on to honey because I have had a few problems with the old respiratory system, and she said just make sure you eat more honey.
Yeah.
And I did. So since then, I've been eating honey on my toast every morning. And it's kind of helped. I don't know, I don't feel like it's a really scientific solution, but it's doing something, I think.
It's very good for you, honey. And if you can get fresh honeycomb, it's really good for you. If you're a hay fever sufferer, what it does is it decreases sensitivity to pollens through stimulation of the blocking antibodies. So the antibodies are stimulated to block the hay fever if you eat honey. So, apparently, I mean, this is all slightly speculative. Include your fish oils, omega-3, in your diet and modify the diet as well. Interesting, what to avoid eating is ragweed pollen is a common contributor, and that's found on melons and zucchinis and cucumbers, so you should cut down on those. And some grass pollens are, and wheat products are found on tomatoes and carrots. And so there's things to avoid. And you know,
that's all the healthy things. Anything processed,
you can eat everything else that's healthy. And you know, the other thing is to avoid swimming in chlorinated pools. Because chlorine byproducts have been found to aggravate hay fever. So if you get hay fever, swim in the sea. Don't swim in the pools. The salt water is actually better at calming than the chlorine.
I've heard that salt water is supposed to be good for all sorts of things.
Well, it is. It's very good to mend wounds and help the skin heal and all sorts of things. There are lots of homeopathic remedies too, such as nettle extract and freeze-dried nettle capsules and grape juice and all sorts of things that help hay fever. Talk to your local natural food store. be careful of the dust mites, keep your house nice and clean. Some people go as far as removing feather quilts and pillows and things like that. But Australia has the highest case of hay fever after the US and the UK. So I hope that's helped for those of you who are snuffling and sneezing and who are a bit snotty. And that's my hay fever report for this week.
And that concludes the Spirits Bar. We do have some music coming
We do.
Up. You've chosen this one by Beverly Knight.
It is. It's called Keep This Fire Burning.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.